Taken from John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You may be seated.
We are thankful that you're with us. We are thankful that we have this opportunity to praise God together, and we have a number of visitors that are really our family members who have moved away and are able to come home for the holidays, and we're thankful that you're back and to renew those acquaintances and those friendships and to see in some cases how your life's going and how much you've grown and changed. And how your family has grown and changed over the years, and we're thankful for that. My family's not with me this morning. They're still in Missouri, and I'll be going back likely this evening. And we'll have another Christmas over there. Christmas got started for us yesterday. I guess it mainly starts, like for most of you, in December, early December, but it really picked up yesterday, and then it will continue tomorrow and, of course, on Tuesday. What's the greatest gift of all? This week, we'll be exchanging all types of gifts, and some of you have thought quite a bit about what gift you want to give someone, and maybe you're even excitedly thinking about and anticipating giving that gift. But what's the greatest gift of all? In the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, we saw some give what we might consider to be the greatest gift of all. The stories coming out about the principal who, when the armed gunman entered, and how she went up to him and immediately was trying to restrain him and lost her life in trying to protect her children. And of course, the school psychologist or psychiatrist running to this scene and also putting her own life in such extreme danger and losing her life. Story of Victoria Soto, one of the first grade teachers, a 27-year-old lady. When she heard the shooting and saw that her children were in danger, were trying to usher them into a closet. And then as the gunman came, she used her own body to shield the bullets and lost her life. Doing what teachers do, love their children. Doing what school administrators and principals do, love and protect their children. Laying down their life. It reminds me of 1 John chapter 3. You know, we know John 3:16, which we'll be referring to as well in this lesson and was just read for us. But 1 John 3:16 reminds us of the stories I just told. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. These heroic stories are heroic because they gave up their life, a very selfless act, for the sake of innocent children, for the sake of those that they were supposed to protect and love. And they did that with all the force they could. Jesus laid down his life for us. So we're supposed to have this kind of love for others. The greatest gift of all, I submit to you, is the gift of love, and the gift ultimately of loving our life in a way that would give it as a selfless act for someone else. It's the greatest gift of all. When we hear stories like this, it reminds us about Jesus and how Jesus gave not his life for innocent children, but he gave his life for unworthy and ungodly people, you and I. You see, the greatest gift of all is ultimately encapsulated in that verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God gave this incredible act of love. He gave his one and only unique begotten Son, for whoever believes in him should not perish, but that we might have eternal life. And we often don't understand how great this gift was unless we understand where we have come from and who we are. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." All of us are guilty because of our sin. We are not innocent, but we are guilty, and we deserve death. Death is the separation between God and man, the separation in a physical way in our earthly body dying, but in a spiritual way being separated from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 5 and in other places, Paul is making this point. And in chapter 5, verse 6, he says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for even a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus died for you and I, knowing that we would often live selfish lives, knowing that we would use our tongues in inappropriate ways, knowing that we would, even as humanity and even ourselves, sometimes take his holy name in vain or utter blasphemous phrases about his name, knowing that we would often be hateful to one another, that we would often commit various levels of immorality in our mind and heart and with our bodies. Yet Jesus died for us. The greatest gift of all is the gift of Jesus. And it's the gift that really can be expressed in so many different ways. We're going to talk about the good news of the gospel. We're going to talk about what the Word of God teaches us. But it really comes out when we think about the meaning of the gift of Jesus. And this morning I want to share three things about what this greatest gift of Jesus means to us. And all these are basic and you've heard them before. But I want to remind you again about the preciousness of the gift of Jesus. The first thing that Jesus gives us through his gift is the gift of peace. The gift of peace. This year, at this time of year, it seems that peace is emphasized. And in fact, in some ways, those of us or some people, some families at their holidays actually don't enjoy the holidays and are get discouraged or depressed at holidays because their family doesn't have peace. They spend time just running from one family to another, and there's a lot of conflict and tension in their family. And it seems that lots of times that leaves them discouraged and frustrated because the expectation is, and the hope is, and the thought is that there should be peace. And I guess at this time of year, we do make an effort more in our families and in our homes, and even as a society, maybe even amongst nations, to have peace more. The Bible says, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We need to have peace in relationships, just as I was speaking of, and we need to work hard to be peacemakers. And it should not just be the expectation, it should be the rule for our homes and our relationships as Christians that we're going to be centered upon peace and trying to get along. As Paul says, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all people. But the gift I'm talking about this morning is not just peace on earth. It's not laying down arms between the Palestinians and the Israelis, though that would be good. It's not just the peace that comes when I'm talking about everybody being able to get along at Christmas when there's been a lot of conflict in their family. That is certainly good as well. But I'm talking about the peace that only Jesus can give in our heart and in our life. Once again, in the book of Romans, Paul has mentioned this peace earlier in verse number 1 of chapter 5, where he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We can have peace. It's the kind of piece I read about that a lady named Evelyn, who was from the Ukraine, didn't have. The story is told by some missionaries who had gone over and were working in the Ukraine area. They told the story of Evelyn, who represents so many people in our world today. Evelyn had had a tumultuous few years, and they heard about her story, and they learned that when she was in the womb, that her father didn't want her and wanted her mother to abort her. The mother didn't want to do that. And the father gave a decree, says, "You either abort the child or I'm leaving." The mother didn't abort, but she did. As the story goes along, she's going to be born, and then she will grow, but the father's gone. The mother had to go away for work, and so she's growing up with her grandparents. Her grandfather was abusive and an alcoholic to the grandmother. She's growing up in this environment. She then gets involved with the man who she thought she could trust, but comes to find out he was just using her. She gets pregnant through him and finds out that he actually has 7 children by 5 different women. And he tries to get her to get an abortion. And she did. And he didn't stay faithful to her. He moved on to some other woman. As this story goes along, you see that Evelyn, if you put yourself in her situation, you can think about the term despair. You can think about the term guilt. You can think about all kinds of broken terms for the life that she has lived and the experiences that she has had. But the one word you wouldn't put in there would be the word peace. You wouldn't think of her life as a peaceful life. It's been anything but peaceful. She's torn up in her heart, and she is so confused emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. She comes in contact with some of the Christian teachers over there in the Ukraine, and they share with her the story of Jesus. And through the story of Jesus and her salvation in Jesus, she's able to find peace. And as the missionary came back and reported and told the story about her coming to know Jesus, he noted this: Evelyn's life was turned around. Today she is happy, fulfilled, and serving God, making a difference in her country. Why was she able to go from despair and agony and guilt? Because of the greatest gift of all. Something that a man couldn't give her. Something that her parents couldn't give her. Something that only God could give her. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, which is able to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The gift of peace. The next gift that Jesus gives us is the gift of hope. The gift of hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter would write in verse number 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Peter speaks of the living hope. It's not a dead hope, but it's a real hope. A hope that is always there and living for us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6, we read the story about how we have a living hope. And the writer of Hebrews speaks of it in verse number 19 is this, or verse 18. "So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have a strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. For we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul." It's the anchor of our soul. If you picture your life as a ship, and oftentimes the storms of life will be assailing you upon the sea of life, what holds you firm? It's the hope in Jesus Christ. It's that anchor that holds your ship from from sinking in the storms of life. The writer says that this hope is sure and steadfast, and then it enters into the inner place behind the curtain, and it is Jesus. Hope is a tremendous gift. If you study accounts of those who have experienced horrible conditions in some type of concentration or prisoner of war camp, and you study the difference in those who made it, as we say, and those who didn't make it, the key idea that it seems that you always find in those accounts and that those who write about it talk about is this idea of a hope, a purpose, a reason for living. Those that give up hope don't last long. Those that persevere, that have hope to continue to cause them to not quit, are the ones who typically survive. I read a story a while back about a troop in Vietnam, and this troop is going to go into some, they were some special forces, and they are going to go to some very low levels of action, and they get in a lot of trouble because of that later on, and some of their men receive legal action and things, and this book was detailing how they got into that and what caused it, and much of that had to do with the higher-up officials basically setting them up for this. But the author noted this at the end of his summary discussing how this could happen, and I want to read what he said. He said, "This was a part of the deeper and larger struggle between good and evil." You see, the issue was, how could some of these men basically lose what we would consider general decorum of right and wrong and do these horrible acts to women and children? He says, it wasn't so much a fight for power as a battle over whether platoon soldiers and their commanders would succumb to their own dark instincts. The former Tigers had told him everything he needed to write his final report, but what they never told him was why their fall from grace, what they never confessed was that somewhere between their ambushes, the booby traps, and the hacking in the glaring sun, they lost hope. Somewhere in the blackness of the night, they lost faith. And in the end, there was nothing to separate them from the devil. As we think about the story in Newtown as well, we talk about how there was tremendous mental illness, and we don't doubt that. But I'll tell you, the ultimate answer from a spiritual worldview perspective regarding the young man who perpetrated those deeds is that there was not hope. There was not hope. There wasn't faith. And folks, when you lose faith, when you lose hope, what reason do you have to live? The greatest gift of all is Jesus, and it's the greatest gift because He gives us peace. And He gives us hope. Hope when we stand by our loved one's grave. Hope when we get a diagnosis of cancer. Hope when our children are born. Hope for every aspect of this life. The gift of hope is so great of a gift. The final gift that I want to note that Jesus gives us is the gift of forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible speaks about this great gift. And all through the book of Acts, you have this gift mentioned. And of course, Jesus talks about it as well. In Ephesians 1, 7, it's in Him that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. And ultimately, we would not be able to have the hope and the peace I spoke of earlier if it was not for this gift, the gift of His atoning blood, the gift of forgiveness. You see, there's something that separates us from God, Romans 6:23, that is sin, and our sins have separated us from God. And therefore, there had to be an atoning sacrifice, and Jesus offered His blood for us. And that blood, as we just partook of the Lord's Supper, represents His forgiveness.
His blood which was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. And so it's the gift of forgiveness. If you think about illustrating forgiveness, it's like putting on a tremendous hiking pack. Think about putting on 50 pounds of weight, putting it on your shoulders, and carrying it around for an entire day. And then coming in at night and being able to take it off and set it down. Think about the burden that would be lifted. Think about how you would have acted totally different that day because you were carrying around such a tremendous burden. I mean, you'd be trying to set down at every opportunity. You'd be tired. You wouldn't go do some of the extra things because you've got an extra 50 pounds you're carrying around. So it inhibits what you do. It affects your attitude. You're probably going to be a little more grumpy and tired and just not have the energy because you're carrying around an extra 50 pounds. And then when you come home at night and you have the opportunity to release it and set it down, you set it down and now it's like you are so light. And now it's no problem to get up and walk across. Now it's no problem to do those things. And now your attitude is better. Why? Because you've lost the burden. Forgiveness is like when we've been carrying a 50-pound weight all through life. And we get to set it down. And we get the release and the joy of being forgiven. You see, forgiveness comes after we've understood and processed our sin. And we've experienced the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. The gift of forgiveness is a wonderful gift. And it's one that we should be thankful for. And it's one that only comes through Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks often of it. And it's one that sadly so many people carry a great burden. And all they need to do is look to Jesus. Jesus is saying, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Let me lift that burden from you. Let me remove it so you can go on with joy and happiness, not being defined by the past, but by being purpose-driven for the future." You see, the gift of forgiveness is a wonderful gift. The greatest gift of all, it's not that I've had many. It's not a new boyfriend or girlfriend. It's not even a cure for some dreaded disease. It's not, you fill in the blank, a new car. It's not a new job. It's not all those things. The greatest gift of all is the gift of Jesus, the gift that God the Father gave us, so that we can have peace, so that we can have hope, and so we can have forgiveness. If you have not experienced that gift, this past week we've been praying the Fried Harmon family, those of us who are connected with Fried Harmon in some way and went to school in the early 90s, one of our classmates, fellow preacher and missionary as well, they went to be missionaries in Peru, so I've been connected with them a little bit through the years. They had a daughter, 2-year-old little girl that got liver cancer. They had to come back from the mission field and she's been getting treated. She required a liver transplant and this week she was able to get that. And it's such an odd situation, it seems, because you were praying in a twofold way. Praying for this little girl to be able to get a liver transplant so that she might live. But knowing that for her to live, someone else's little 2-year-old had to die. She got the liver transplant this week. And you think about that selfless act, the pain of that family, of allowing this child to be a donor, even in their grief. And how this other child is now allowed to live. The greatest gift of all is to love. And just like that situation, there had to be someone to give life, and there had to be someone receive life. Jesus had to give life, and he did. He gave life as he died on the cross. But here's where it's a gift, and don't miss this because so many people in the world miss it. God doesn't just say everybody gets the gift. God says you've got to receive it. It's there, but you still have to receive it. Just like this little girl, that she had to receive the gift in order for her to be able to live. We've got to receive the gift of Jesus in order to be able to live. If you haven't responded to that gift, if you haven't accepted that gift through belief, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ to have your sins washed away, if you haven't done that, don't put it off. You can do it this morning. If you need to respond, if you need to rededicate your life, come as together we stand and sing.
Bring Christ your broken life, so marred by sin,
He will create a new, make all again. Your empty, wasted years, He will restore, and your iniquities remember no more. Bring Him your every care, if great or small, whatever troubles you, oh, bring it all. Bring Him the haunting fears, the nameless dread. Thy heart He will relieve and lift up thy head. Blessed Savior of us all, almighty friend, His presence shall be ours unto the end. Without Him life would be how dark, how drear, but with Him morning breaks and heaven is near.
You may be seated.
Joel, if you would come forward to lead us in a prayer in a moment. Dustin Clancy, one of our youth group members and someone that a few years back we enjoyed and rejoiced with his conversion to Christ. But Dustin comes forward today saying that he's been away from the Lord and has quit in his church attendance and things. And the last couple of weeks, Dustin's been back with us and we've been thankful for that. And Dustin wants to rededicate his life and ask forgiveness of his brethren and forgiveness of the Lord and be right with God. And so we are thankful for that, and we welcome Dustin back with open arms to the family of God, and we pray on his behalf to God. And so I'm going to ask Joel to do that at this time.
You bow with me to pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son and for all that it means to us. Father, we're especially thankful now that we have the ability to come back to you. That as we have loved you once and been dedicated to your service, that as life comes at us and things happen,